You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to The Art of Love with your host, Lucia, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And welcome to The Art of Love. My name is Lucia. I'm your host and a dating and relationship expert. And I'm here to entertain, educate, and enlighten you about love, dating, and relationships, solve your dating dilemmas, take live calls, answer emails, and speak to authors. And I am especially excited about the author I have today. I don't usually say especially excited because I really am, and it's an honor and a privilege to have her on. And I'm going to bring her on right now, and I'll tell you who she is and all about her. Hello, Ariel. Yeah. Hold on. Let me get rid of this music. Okay. Hi, we're on the air.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful. I have to say I'm really honored and happy that you're on the show today.
Oh, thank you. It's nice to be here.
Yes, and you've written a wonderful book called The Soulmate Secret, Manifest the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction. And, of course, the website is soulmatesecret.com. And you have quite a wonderful history. You have been responsible for launching the careers of Deepak Chopra, Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen, Neil Donald Walsh. And you've also had publicity for Wayne Dyer, Debbie Ford, Gary Zukav, Marianne Williamson, Louise Hay, Miguel Ruiz. I've read books by all of these people. I have all their books.
My biggest talent was picking the right clients.
Oh, okay. Well, you certainly did. You know, and I love, love, love Marianne Williamson.
Oh, isn't she amazing?
Yeah, I quote her often in my works, and I used to go to her lectures when they were at the Wilshire Ebell many years ago.
Yeah, me too, and I used to live in L.A.
Yeah,
I used to go all the time in the 80s.
Well, I went in the 90s. Don't you miss those nights with Marianne Williamson?
I do, and, you know, fortunately, at least a couple of times a year, I get to hear her speak, and she gets better and better. It's just unbelievable that she is just a genius at what she does.
Yeah, I mean, she's the best speaker I've ever heard, and I think she just probably uses bullet points.
You know, I've never actually ever seen her work with notes, and I've probably seen her speak 100 times.
Oh, my God. That's even more amazing. So, all right, so on to your book. What is a soulmate?
I think a soulmate is somebody that accepts you unconditionally, loves you unconditionally, that you can completely be yourself with. And when you look into their eyes, you have the experience of being home. That's a soulmate for me.
Okay, so then
what's your definition? What do you think a soulmate is?
I think it's someone who helps you along on your spiritual path.
Yeah, that too. Definitely.
So it could be, you know, it could be a child, you know, it could be a pet, it could be a parent.
Yes, I totally agree. I think we get more than one soulmate, and they come in different forms. I mean, I think one of the best examples of a soulmate friendship is Oprah and Gayle King. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they're not soulmates, who is?
Right. Exactly.
And I've had cats that were definitely soulmates, and I've seen people with dogs that have soulmate relationships. So I think, you know, if you actually put your attention on it, you can find that there's already a lot of love in your life. And while my book focuses on the romantic type of love, there's lots of love around, and all you have to do is be aware of it.
Absolutely. So then what exactly does a soulmate relationship look like? Because everyone is told, well, you have to find your soulmate, and everyone's looking for the soulmate, but then they don't even know what it's going to look like once they get there.
Yeah, well, you know, I think for a lot of people, it doesn't always look the same, but from the relationships I've observed from my own and good friends of mine, there's an ease that comes with it. Not that problems don't pop up from time to time, But there's a willingness to put the relationship above everything else. So that's what comes first, that regardless of what's going on in your life or their life, the biggest priority in both of your lives is the relationship and each other.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, isn't that how relationships should be?
Well, yes. Yes, I know. I've had three people ask me to write a book called How to Turn My Mate into My Soulmate.
Mm.
And the truth is, I don't know how to do that. The only thing that comes up for me when they say that to me
uh-huh.
is my favorite line from A Course in Miracles, which says, the only thing that can be lacking in any situation is that which you are not giving.
Right.
So if you're yeah. standing in judgment of your partner, your significant other, your beloved, and you're pointing fingers and you're making them wrong and they're not doing things right, I would say that the first place to look is within yourself and what aren't you giving to the situation.
Right, and that's usually the last place we want to look.
Yes, generally. Yeah, it's so much easier to say, you did this or you didn't do this.
Right.
And, you know, I have to remind people, I'm not a relationship expert. I inadvertently became an expert on how to manifest a soulmate.
Uh-huh.
And I never thought that would be my mission in life, but that's what happened. 11 years ago, I decided to take all the manifestation tools and techniques I had used so successfully in my career and apply them to my love life as an experiment on myself. And with great surprise, it all worked. Everything worked. It worked beyond my biggest hopes, dreams, and fantasies.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I manifested Brian and we got married and we were living our lives, I never thought about it again, ever. You know, that's what happened. Now we're together and I moved on with my life. And then a couple of years ago, my sister, Debbie Ford, asked me to give a little talk to 200 of her students. She said, I want you to tell them how you manifested Brian. So I sat down and I started making notes about all the things that I did. And when I was done, I had 9 pages of notes. So I sat down with her 200 people and I shared my personal experience with them. And when it was all over, they were all saying, well, when can I buy the book? Well, you know, I never intended to write this book, but here it is. And I have learned along the way that this didn't just work for me. It worked for my 80-year-old mother-in-law. It's worked for dozens of my friends. It works for absolutely anybody and everybody that's willing to commit a little bit of time and energy to it.
Right. Now, the stories that I was reading in your book of, you know, people that found their soulmates, it seems that they always got on great from the beginning. So, I mean, is that the way it always is when you meet your soulmate? There's an instant great connection? Or is it sometimes, you know, you have issues, you might break up and get back together?
Yeah, definitely. No, I would say there's definitely story. I mean, I know the backstory on all of those folks.
Mm-hmm.
And while there was a magical meeting generally at some point where they recognized each other,
uh-huh.
Definitely there were moments where they went, oh, this can't be my soulmate.
Right, right.
You know? And there's one story in the book, and I won't identify who. We're,
okay.
We're 10 years after the wedding. It's still going on. It's a push-pull type of thing because really, you know, most of us know by now a relationship is there to hold a mirror up to ourselves to see where we need more growth.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not going to be anybody better at pushing your buttons than your soulmate.
I know.
So finding your soulmate doesn't mean you get a pass in the relationship area and there's no work to do.
I know, because that's what it sounds like. You know, it's like, oh, you meet this person. It's great from the beginning. Everything's smooth. It's easy sailing.
No, not at all. But the thing is that when you are with your soulmate, there are things in life that are easier. There's, you know, I don't know if I even have words to describe it, but there's a feeling of joy when you wake up in the morning and you roll over and you open your eyes and somebody's smiling back at you and you know that you're home, that this is who you're supposed to be with. And yes, there may be moments during the day when you want to kill them, you know, when you can't believe they've just said what they said or done what they've done.
Yeah.
But you get over it. You know, you work through it because the relationship's that important to you.
Right. Now, I also heard your interview with Christian Carter, and I believe you mentioned Carol Allen.
Uh-huh.
That she said that yep. according to your astrology, you really weren't supposed to have met him until many years later.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of funny. Carol's my Vedic astrologer, who I worship and adore.
Uh-huh.
And she teaches people that you have a season of love when you're, you know, when all the stars are aligning, and that's your best bet to meet somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But it appears that I trumped my season of love, because when Brian and I came together, I wasn't in a season of love. However, when I had Carol and two other Vedic astrologers match up my chart with Brian's, mm-hmm. all of them came back with the same thing, that we had the clearest indication of a fated relationship they'd ever seen, and we were perfectly matched. So I like to use astrology as a guide, but I don't live and die by it.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I would say that for all kinds of information. I often use lots of different tools just to get affirmation for what my own intuition is telling me. So if you are going to an astrologer and they say, oh, well, it's going to be 2 more years till Venus and Jupiter are in the right house, whatever house that is,
mm-hmm.
don't despair.
Yeah.
You know, we come into this life with some destiny, some fate, and a lot of free will.
Right.
You know, so I wouldn't let anybody stop me and tell me, oh, no, it's not your time.
Oh, okay, good.
That's not true.
Because I actually had a reading by Carol about a year ago, and
uh-huh.
she said it would be 7 years more until I meet someone.
Well, then let's prove her wrong.
I know. But, you know, I'm one of those ambivalent types, because part of me is like, oh, 7 more years, and the other part is like, all right, 7 more years.
Well, that's, you know, you really raise a good point, because manifesting anything, whether it's your soulmate or a new client or a new car, really takes clarity, intention, and attention. And we all know how powerful these tools are. So you really have to be clear that there is the time and the space in your life to bring in a relationship, because they do require nurturing. And it may be that you're in a time of great growth and development, and, you know, having your perfect other. Maybe it's not the right time for you. Maybe it is.
Mm-hmm.
Only you can decide that.
Right.
You know, but if you're ambivalent, I would suggest that you don't start the manifestation process yet, because the last thing you want to do is manifest, you know, a beloved who's also ambivalent. That would be, you know, really messy.
Well, that would be the story of my life.
Well, are you a Gemini?
No, Sagittarius, so like total opposite.
Oh, well, you just need a guy less to travel as much as you do.
Yes, that's right. But not another Sagittarius, because they're crazy.
Pardon?
But not another Sagittarius, though.
No.
No.
No, 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 no. Well, I you know, I don't know astrology well enough to know what your perfect other is, but
right.
You know what? It's not that important.
Exactly.
I would recommend that you make a very detailed wish list of the qualities and traits you'd like this person to have, and to think about your lifestyle. You know, and it may be, and I don't know you at all,
mm-hmm.
so, but, you know, it may be that what's ideal for you is a long-distance relationship, you know, or somebody who lives down the street that you see twice a week, or it may be that you want somebody you're with 24/7 and you work together. But only you will know that, and
right.
you need to write that out in detail of what does our life together look like? Where do we go? What do we do? Who do we hang out with?
Right.
What are we up to?
Yeah, and you mentioned the list in your book, and you said to be very detailed. You have to put the fact that he, you know, has to be straight, because otherwise if you meet the perfect guy but he's gay, it's not going to work.
You can't even imagine the people I've met that's happened to.
Oh, no.
Because they, you know, they had the list, they manifested everything on the list, but they forgot to specify straight or gay. So, you know, if it's your list, then, you know, and what you would like is a straight man, and, you know, whatever
right.
it is you're looking for,
yeah.
then ask. I would like a straight man who is open, willing, available for a long-term, committed relationship or marriage with or without children. I mean, be that specific.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to go into Starbucks and order up a latte, you would be that specific, right?
Exactly.
And you'd expect 3 minutes later, you're going to get handed the exact precise cup of coffee you ordered. It can be like that with the universe. You can be that specific. It may not be that fast. In
mm-hmm.
fact, chances are it won't be that fast, thank God, because
mm-hmm.
it would make your head spin. But ask for what you want. I mean, I know that this works, but it's not just the wish list. There's more to it. And here's the important part that most people don't get.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the movie Conversations with God?
No, but I want to.
Okay. Well, there's a scene in the movie where where this character, Neil, is yelling at God. And he's yelling at him, and he's saying, I just want my life back. And God speaks to him and says, you can't have anything that you want. And what he meant by that is that when you're in the state of wanting, the only thing that you're going to get is more wanting. So if what you say you desire is a soulmate, you need to put yourself into the state of being grateful for the love that's already in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to start by looking at the love that's there right now. Who can you be grateful? Is it friends, family, children, whatever, coworkers? And start giving more love to those people. And start thanking God every day for all the love that's in your life and all the love that's coming to you, not from a place of resentment, anger, sadness, depression, resentment, from a place of joy that I am a loving being with plenty of love in my life and there's more on the way. And then start living as if you really believe that. When you go into the Hallmark card shop, start buying cards that you're going to give to him or her someday.
Mm.
Start buying tickets to concerts or plays coming up 3 or 6 months in the future that you're going to attend with them. There's one actress in L.A. who loved to cook, and every night she would cook a gourmet dinner for two and set a beautiful table and light candles and play music. And within 3 months, her soulmate was sitting at the table with her.
Wow.
That's what I mean by living as if.
Mm-hmm.
And also makes sense, right?
Absolutely. And also in the book you mentioned, speaking of actresses, about Barbara Streisand, someone had said, well, you know, she's so secluded. The fact that she was able to, you know, find someone, then heck, then everybody could find someone.
Yeah, that was my experience. I was watching her on Oprah, and she'd just gotten engaged to James Brolin, and I had this big old light bulb moment where I thought, God, if God can find the perfect man for her, I would be a piece of cake. Because I lived in L.A. at the time. I knew that Barbara Streisand was this very wealthy, ultra-private diva. Didn't go out much.
Mm-hmm, right.
There couldn't be that many guys that were a perfect fit for her. And yet, here she was with the perfect guy for her. So I knew I was going to be a piece of cake. So that was a real moment of belief for me.
Yeah, that really spells it out that there's hope for everyone.
Yeah.
Now, in the Awareness magazine interview, you mentioned the Shakti sickness, which I have never heard about. So can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, what happened was when I met Brian, he actually made me sick.
Literally.
He literally made me sick because energetically, he was so different from anybody I'd ever been with. I was a real type A, overachieving, go, go, go kind of person. And here was this very blissed out, peaceful, meditating, exercising, athlete, blissed out guy.
Mm-hmm.
And just being in his energy field sort of turned me upside down. And I needed to calibrate to his energy. And it took me about 6 months. This sometimes happens if you meet a guru somewhere and they give you a blessing and their energy overpowers you. That can happen.
Yeah.
So in some ways, he not only became a soulmate to me, he was also a teacher because over the last 11 years, my lifestyle has become much more like his and vice versa. I'm much more mellow. I'm no longer type A.
Mm-hmm.
I get up early like he does. I don't work out 2 hours a day like he does, but I'm much more like... I adopted his lifestyle more than he adopted mine.
Uh-huh.
So that happens, you know, and that's what I asked for on my wish list. I wanted somebody who was physically fit and into being very active but was also on a spiritual path. And so, you know, we learn and grow from each other.
And did he get sick at all?
Nope. Nope, not in the least. But he understood what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he sort of tuned in and understood it. You know, a lot of things happened all at the same time. I mean, he basically threw me into menopause. I was 43 when we met, and I started having hot flashes right after
God.
I met him.
Wow.
Which was fine, because I didn't want to have children anyway. But
right, right.
Yeah, he definitely had a big impact on my life.
Oh my God, I don't know if I want to meet my soulmate now. Sounds scary.
Well, it doesn't happen with everybody.
Right, right. Now, you also mentioned that sometimes the universe will test you to see if you're really ready.
Yes, that definitely happened to me as well, because here I was doing all these processes and exercises and feelingizations and meditations, you know, getting focused on bringing and manifesting in my soulmate. And what shows up is this hot guy. I mean, really hot, really cute. And he's calling me all the time and asking me out and wanting to be really playful. And I knew he wasn't the one. I mean, he had a reputation as a major player. And, you know, there was, I'd been alone for a long time. He was a very sexy guy. I was attracted to him. So there was a part of me that wanted to go and play. And there was another part of me saying, if my soulmate was definitely showing up tomorrow, would I go and have sex with this guy tonight? And of course the answer is no. Mm-hmm. So going and playing with this guy would have been like having a banana split when you say you're on a diet.
Mm.
Resisting him was really hard. And at one point I realized that I was being tested.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the universe was saying to me, let's just see how serious you are. Let's just see how much of a believer you are. You know, are you going to give in to the temptation of, you know, a little fun now, or, you know, are you going to stick to your guns? And I passed.
Wow.
And it was hard. It was really hard.
Yeah, I don't think I would pass right now. I'll have my fun now and later. Okay, now let me play devil's advocate here, because, you know, some people may think, well, you know, why do I have to do all this work? Because, like, my sister, for example, I mean, she's been married forever, and she, I know she didn't do any of this work. So what about the people that didn't do anything, and yet they still found their soulmate?
Well, you know, that's their karma. I mean, it doesn't matter, right? It's worked for your sister, it didn't work for you, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's like Carol Allen. She's been married since she was like 23 to the perfect guy.
I know. What's up
with that? Yeah. You know, she didn't work at it. It just happened for her. And some people are fortunate that way. Just, you know, some people are born with blue eyes.
Right.
Some with brown eyes.
Right.
You know, I can't explain that. They're very fortunate and lucky in love. But for those of us that it wasn't just landing on our front door,
mm-hmm.
you know, all I try to do is provide the step-by-step guide that I use, that a dozen of my friends use, that has worked for us, you know. And you could put your hands on your hips and say, well, it's not fair.
Right.
But you're still not going to get your soulmate that way.
Right.
It's just like, you know, at the start of every year, most of us start setting goals for ourselves, work goals, career goals, fitness goals, health goals. All I'm saying is this is the same thing, only it's in the area of love. You know, set some goals for yourself. Create some clear intentions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get rid of the clutter in your heart and in your home and in your mind, and forgive the people that have harmed you and hurt you in the past, and let them go, and create the space to manifest the person that's going to bring you joy for the rest of your life.
Right. So let's briefly just go over the steps to manifesting the soulmate.
Right. So the first step is forgiveness. And that's a really critical step. You need to forgive yourself for any mistakes that you believe you've made in the area of relationships in the past. And you need to forgive those people that you say hurt you. You know, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. It doesn't matter anymore. It's in the past. They're not the one. You need to forgive them and let go. The second step we've talked about is creating a very detailed soulmate wish list of the traits and qualities of the person you wish to manifest, as well as a description of the lifestyle that you're going to lead together.
Mm-hmm.
The third step is creating a vision board or a treasure map, which is so much fun. And you just take a big piece of poster board, a glue stick and some scissors, and then cut out pictures, photographs, images, and words from magazines and collage them onto the poster board so that they become a visual representation mm-hmm. of the future you're creating. And what I like to do with my treasure maps is create a special altar for them. So when I was manifesting Brian, I created a love altar in the relationship corner of my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a feng shui master come and tell me exactly where that was. And then I put up two beautiful pink candles next to the vision board. And I had a statue of the Hindu god and goddess Krishna and Radha, known as the lovers in the Hindu pantheon. I had a copy of my soulmate wish list, which I had written on beautiful stationery, and I folded it and put it under the altar. And I had some other items, some crystals and rose quartz types of things. And then every day I would pray and meditate in front of my love altar, always from a place of giving thanks for my soulmate. And sometimes I would talk to him. And sometimes I would whine and say, you know, you're late. That would happen occasionally. Right. But mostly I would just give thanks for knowing and trusting that he was on the way to me and he would be there as quickly as he could be. And then from there, we talked about living as if. That's a piece of it. There's also a section on savoring the waiting. Mm. It's a really important time in your life before your soulmate arrives. You know, it's the last time you're going to be totally single. And it's a time to really honor and enjoy that while living in gleeful, joyful anticipation of what's coming. And then there's a section on taking action. And when I say take action, I don't mean like making a long list of all the steps you're going to take to go out into the world to find him or her.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean is you're going to remind yourself on a daily basis that they're also looking for you, that they're on the way to you, and then you're going to listen to your intuition on what your next step should be. So for some people, the next step may be joining an online dating service like eHarmony or Match.com. Or I have two girlfriends who met their husbands on MillionaireMatch.com, which I'd never even heard of before I met them. And my 80-year-old mother-in-law met her soulmate on Match.com. She was 80, he was 83 when they met.
Wonderful.
They're still madly in love.
Wonderful.
Living together at an assisted living facility.
Uh-huh.
Or it may be that your intuition tells you that even though you just got home from work and you're totally exhausted, there's a lecture you should be going to, or there's a cocktail party, or there's a networking opportunity, or somebody calls at the last moment and says, hey, I'm going such and such, why don't you join me? And one part of you is thinking, wow, that sounds like fun, and the other part saying, I'm too tired.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the part that says that sounds like fun.
You know, it's funny because
I've
heard a lot of people, they said they met their soulmate on a night when they didn't even want to go out, and they just happened to be there, and they forced themselves to go out.
Exactly. I know so many stories like that. So that's really what I mean by taking action. So, you know, I put the book together, The Soulmate Secret, really just to share all the various things that I personally used, that my friends have used, that have worked. Now, do you have to do absolutely all of them? No, you don't. I have one friend, Sean, the only thing that he did, because he didn't believe in any of this, he thought it was completely crazy, was he made a treasure map. And then he took a picture of it, and he used it as wallpaper on his laptop because he travels all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And his biggest complaint was that he was unable to ever meet anybody because every girl he ever dated complained that he traveled 90% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So Sean made this beautiful treasure map, photographed it, put it on his laptop and his cell phone, and within 3 weeks met an international flight attendant who travels as much as he does, and they got engaged the day after Christmas.
Wow. But then when did they see each other if they're both traveling?
You know, I haven't asked him that, but at least, you know what? She's not complaining about his traveling.
Well, she can't.
And I think she's a senior flight attendant on the airlines that he travels most often.
Ah.
So they probably work it out so,
right,
you know, she gets to travel with him more often.
That's perfect.
And of course, you know, he's a very wealthy guy, so the truth is she doesn't have to work anymore if she doesn't want to.
Right.
She can just travel with him.
Exactly. Now, what about the story about the guy that had the cell phone number running through his head? That was crazy.
Yeah, I actually read that in a magazine. You know, there was a guy in England. He had a dream, and in the dream he kept seeing a cell phone number. When he woke up, he sent a text to the cell phone number, and that's how he met his wife.
Wow.
Kind of crazy. So you never know where the signs are going to come from.
Yes.
You just never know. And it's actually not your job to know.
Mm-hmm.
It's your job to be ready, receptive, magnetizing, clear about what you want in your life. But it's not your job to know how, when, where they're going to show up. But it is your job to be ready.
Right. You know, mentioning being ready, I always remember this one thing that Marianne said. You know, she said, you know, you can't be a bitch during the day, and then when you're partner comes home at night, go, oh, hi, honey, how are you?
Right. Now, I've been telling people lately, I said, I want you to imagine that your beloved has a webcam on you, a live webcam, and they can see you 24/7. How would you be behaving differently if they
I'd
could
be in
tune
trouble.
In at any time?
Yeah.
You know, it's
right.
Like the, you know, my sister teaches a lot about the shadow, and she always says the people with the biggest nice acts are the most dangerous ones because when they blow, they explode.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Authenticity is a really important thing to become aware of.
And in terms of clearing space, now you mentioned the closet space.
Yes.
No.
This is how you know whether or not you're serious about manifesting somebody, because I always tell people you need to have at least 6 inches of empty space in your closet just to symbolically be ready for your soulmate to arrive and have some place to hang their clothes. And if you're thinking, oh, my God, I don't even have room for my clothes in the closet, and I'm not willing to clean out a drawer, and I'm not willing to clean out the nightstand on their side of the bed,
yeah.
It may be that it's just not the right time for you. Because you want to symbolically create empty space in your home so that when they arrive, they'll feel welcome. They're like, oh, wow, I could put my stuff in here. There's room in his life or room in her life to have me with them. Even if you don't ever plan to live with them in the home that you're in now, you still need to create the space.
Okay, because in I thought you had said it, you needed to give them 3 feet of space. Or maybe I'm wrong.
3 feet? No, well, you know what? It's not a black or white kind of thing. The idea is to create space. You know,
okay.
So if your closet's only 2 feet long, you know, then use 10% of it as empty space. But there's no rules in all of this.
Yeah.
Just like in feng shui, there's so many different schools of feng shui. One person says you should never sleep facing north. One says you should never face sleeping south. The other one says never sleep east.
Right.
Doesn't, you know, so it's not about it's this or it's that.
Mm-hmm.
I live in the world called it's a both and world. It's both the way you say it is and the way I say it is. And look and see at these various soulmate manifesting steps, what works for you, what appeals to you. And if what I say sounds too strange, then don't do it. You know, you're not going to lose out if you don't follow up, you know, every little letter the way I did. It's really about what's going to work for you.
Yeah, no, 6 inches I can live with. I actually, there's this, have you heard of huggable hangers?
Huggable hangers. Nope, I haven't heard of
those. Well, if you need more closet space, there are these really thin hangers that I started buying all huggable hangers because I had no room. And they actually give you, like, extra room in your closet.
See, there you go. You've already figured out the solution.
So that might be something that people can use if they don't have enough room. Just change to these hangers. They're more expensive, but, hey, they might be worth it if they bring your soulmate in.
Right, and if they're going to last the rest of your life, then why not? You know, the idea is just to create some space. And if the truth is you live in one place with one tiny itty-bitty closet and it's not possible, then empty out a drawer. You know, just do something symbolically so that there's empty space there.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Ariel, for being on the show. I'm honored to have you on. I love the book, and I think it's something that everyone should get because it takes The Secret, the principles from The Secret, and it helps you to manifest your soulmate.
Yeah. Well, thanks. It's been fun talking to you, Lucia.
Okay. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ladies, are you tired of all those energy drinks made for the boys? The harsh taste and the bitter aftertaste and all that caffeine. Well, there's something new out there, and it's made for a woman. Cougar Energy Drink for Women is a tropical-flavored 2.5-ounce shot with the caffeine of a cup of coffee, but vitamins and nutrients that a woman needs for her hair, nails, skin, and stress. I went online and found a store near me that carried it, but decided to order it online instead just for the added convenience and discount. Check it out at CougarEnergyDrink.com.
All right, so that was Ariel Ford. Already forgot the last name. Shame on me. With the book, The Soulmate Secret, Manifest the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction, and that is at soulmatesecret.com. And let me do one of my favorite segments now.
Celebrity Corner.
So finally, someone took my advice. A few weeks ago, I was giving advice to Megan Fox. Not that she asked for it, but maybe she heard the show and took my advice. And I said that she needed to break up with her fiancé, Brian Austin Green. And this week, she did. Because, well, first of all, she's like 22, way too young to be engaged. And also, he didn't go to some awards show with her. I don't remember which ones. And, you know, that's not good. You're the person in your life, the main person in your life is supposed to support you. I mean, especially, I mean, if they're a soulmate, which is what we're all looking for, the, today's topic, then of course they're going to be with you at an important event like an awards show, especially if you're presenting. And so she did the right thing. And if she's listening, good for you. But don't get engaged anytime soon, at least not in the next 3 years. You need to just wait a while and grow a bit more, and then you can see about finding your soulmate. Now, there's another celebrity I want to discuss. I don't really want to discuss it. I hate entering to negativity, but I guess I will. It's about the whole Rihanna, Chris Brown thing. Over the weekend, it was announced that they are supposedly back together, or at least they're hanging out together at P. Diddy's house this weekend. I knew that was going to happen. I knew they were going to get back together, and it's really sad. But, you know, they're young, and they're, instead of making a logical decision, they're coming from their feelings. And I already know how this is going to go down, not because I'm a psychic, but because there's just... That's just how it happens. And, you know, it's going to happen again, whatever allegedly happened, since you have to keep using that word, allegedly. It's going to happen again, and eventually they will break up. And it's too, you know, the worst part is that she's a role model. And so by getting back with him, what she's telling the young girls that follow her is that it's okay if someone doesn't treat you right, that you can go back to that person. And that's not the message that we want to be sending young girls. And the people around her, you know, obviously you can't control her, you can't make her not go back, but, you know, you got to try and talk some sense into someone who's making a really bad decision that's not going to get them anywhere. It's not a positive step for them to take. You know, I'm trying to find the right words here to use. And, you know, this whole thing of abuse, you know, that's what happens. People put up with it, because if people didn't put up with it, it wouldn't exist. I know it seems simplistic, but my thought has always been, if a person, especially, well, women, okay, let's, usually it's women who are abused, okay, let's not pretend it's 50-50. If women were to leave a dating situation or a relationship at the first signs of abuse, we could eventually shut down all the women's shelters. I truly believe that. However, I know that's not going to happen anytime soon, because feelings are stronger than logic, and they come from the primitive part of the brain, which always hijacks the logical part. Not always. Not if you teach yourself. Not if you become enlightened enough so that you, no matter what you're feeling, you're still able to make a logical decision, or at least you're able to listen to the people around you who are not involved in the situation, and they can be objective. You can say, you know what, you're right. Even though I really feel like I need to be with him, I want to be with him, I still love him, blah, 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 I'm going to make the logical decision not to. And the way to do that is to do it with the small things in life, because you're not going to be able to do it with a person that you're dating if you haven't practiced on the small things, meaning if you're on a diet and you know that you can't be eating a certain food, then you make that decision. It's like, yes, oh God, I want to have that cookie. I want to put that cookie right now in my mouth, but I know that I can't, I shouldn't, and so I'm going to make a logical decision and override my feelings. And so if you do it with the little things, then it gets easier. And, you know, that's what I do. I've trained myself to do that. Of course, it's not always, but, you know, no matter what I feel, I still think, okay, what is the logical thing to do? And then I'll refrain myself, like I have talked about many times on the air. If I was dating someone and for some reason they stopped calling, now most women, at some point, they're going to pick up the phone and go, hey, why'd you stop calling? You know, because you feel it's like, wait a minute, you were here and I loved you and blah, 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 and now you're gone. That's not me. I will, you know, if someone stops calling, I will never pick up the phone to find out why they stopped calling. It doesn't mean that I don't feel anything. I could be going through all kinds of feelings, and yet logically, I go, there's no reason to pick up the phone, because if that person wanted to talk to me or be in my life, they would have called it. They haven't, so goodbye. I know it's not a place where everyone is at, and it's not a place you get to easily, but I'm telling you the story because it's a place that I've been able to get to, and if one person can do it, then everybody can do it. So we'll wait and see what happens with the whole Brianna Chris Brown thing, but I knew they were going to get back together, and I think it's really sad. So I am actually waiting for a caller to call in. What shall I do in the meantime? What shall I talk about? You know, I have a lot of interesting projects coming up that I can't tell you about. 60 Minutes Australia is actually going to be interviewing me about the cougar lifestyle. I can tell you about that. But I also taped a TV show, which I don't know if it's going to be on. It's okay, I taped Dr. Phil. All right, why am I hiding this? it hasn't been on yet. If you join my newsletter on theartoflove.net, you will be able to find out when it's on, because I'm going to put a bulletin out, obviously. And also on MySpace, if you join MySpace, and the link is, of course, on theartoflove.net, you can find out when I'm going to be on Dr. Phil. And we taped it about 6 weeks ago, so it's got to be on at some point, right? All right, so let me talk about vamping, right, while I'm waiting. Is this guy going to call in or what? Okay, I'm going to talk about this article I found on Yahoo News, and it is about the fact that men tend to overspend when they are trying to attract a date. So it says, men are hardwired after eons of evolution to overspend. Their maxed out credit cards and mega purchases have been tied to their desire to attract mates. So, you know, if you're going out with someone and he's not willing to spend money, what does that tell you? It tells you he's not that attractive, right? He's trying to keep expenses to a minimum. It says the biggest male spenders were found to have the highest number of reported past partners and desired the most future partners. So, of course, guys aren't going to be happy to hear about that. It's like, what? I have to spend a lot of money in order to get a lot of partners? Well, apparently, according to this study, you do. The finding detailed in the current issue of Evolutionary Psychology did not hold with women, meaning we're not going to spend money to find a mate. That's true. Well, we spend money on ourselves to look good, okay? And that's how we spend our money, because guys say, oh, how come I always have to pay for dinner and you never pay for anything? Well, you know what? Try having to pay for, you know, your nails and your facials and your hair coloring and whatever, and then you'll see that we actually do spend a lot of money. Let's see. Vying for women is simply what men do and have done for hundreds of thousands of years. Hundreds of thousands is a long time. Men in the ancestral environment were valued if they were good providers, and now we have the new consumer culture, so basically we show our potential through the consumer goods that we purchase rather than being a good hunter or providing protection. Yeah, we don't need to be protected from animals or dinosaurs these days. So we want a good provider. And let's see what else. It says, they used data from telephone surveys of more than 400 men and women with an average age of 34. They rated how much they agreed with the statements about their financial habits. I always live within my income range, and each income period I set aside at least 10% for savings. They also indicated marital status and sexual partners, and the men who spent more and thus save less and who are more likely to shell out more than they earned reported having more sexual partners in the past 5 years and desired more future partners than other guys. Well, now maybe with this financial challenge, as I call it, men will be spending less. Does that mean they'll have less mates and less sex? Specifically, the 25% of men who were most conservative about spending had an average of 3 partners in the past 5 years and desired about 1 partner in the next 5 years. Huh. That's not very many. The 2% of men with the riskiest financial strategies had double those numbers. Shame on them. For women, financial consumption wasn't significantly related to past or future mates. That's right. The results can help to explain why so many people are in a financial mess right now. It's funny. It is partially a result of our economic system and recent financial policies, but I really do think that our evolving mating strategies have an influence. Our competition for economic displays drives our consumer economy and the culture of affluence. In terms of the current mortgage crisis, the findings suggest that one of the reasons why we overextend ourselves is that we're basically in a status race. We have expectations that spiral upward as people make more money and everyone wants to show that they are better than average. That's true. And, you know, tying this into the whole soulmate topic today, you know, when you find your soulmate, you don't care if they have money or not. I mean, obviously you want them to have some money. Although one time I had a 5-year relationship with this guy who, when I first met him, I mean, he was practically homeless. Okay. I mean, he was living out of his car at the time. And sometimes in a sleazy hotel. I didn't even know that at the time. I later found out. So what I'm saying is, guys, you don't need to spend that much money. If a woman is really interested in you, she's not going to care how much you have, how much you spend, and where you take her. I mean, she'll be happy to go anywhere. You know, like I've said, if she's interested in you and you take her to McDonald's, she'll think it's romantic. Like, wow, he took me to McDonald's. But if she's just interested in what you can do for her or in money, then she'll never see you again. She'll be like, what? How dare you? How dare you take me to McDonald's? Well, I don't think my caller is going to call in, so I will try to get him on next week. It's a special secret guest. So I'm going to take a quick break, and I'll be right back. Don't go away.
Ladies, are you tired of all those energy drinks made for the boys? The harsh taste and the bitter aftertaste and all that caffeine. Well, there's something new out there, and it's made for a woman. Cougar Energy Drink for Women is a tropical flavored 2.5-ounce shot with the caffeine of a cup of coffee, but vitamins and nutrients that a woman needs for her hair, nails, skin, and stress. I went online and found a store near me that carried it, but decided to order it online instead just for the added convenience and discount. Check it out at CougarEnergyDrink.com.
All right. Well, I would like to thank my guest, Ariel Ford, author of The Soulmate Secret, Manifest the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction. And again, her website is soulmatesecret.com. If you like my show, be sure to spread the word. My website, as I mentioned before, for signing up for my free weekly newsletter and finding out what is going on with me, is theartoflove.net. There is an excerpt from my book, Lessons of Love, and that is, of course, lessonsoflove.net. If you were at my Cougar speed dating event a few weeks ago, I will be putting together a Cougar mixer probably in a few months. So sign up for the newsletter, and you'll get all the details on that when it is ready to go. Thank you so much for joining me today. And remember that love inspires, empowers, uplifts, and enlightens.
You're listening to The Art of Love with your host, Lucia, right here on LA Talk Radio.